Okay, good morning, everyone. So the just to quickly recap from what we did last time. So last time we covered the basics of the Mishnah and the first sugya in the Gemara, where the Mishnah addressed some of the rules and regulations that are going to govern people who share property, and people specifically who share a chatzer, a courtyard, and how they can subdivide should they both want to. So we're going to address what happens in all the permutations of that case in a little bit. But remember, the first Gemara that we saw was trying to analyze the Mishnah's specific language about whether you build a mechitza, whether you build a kosel, whether there's a difference between what type of wall you build to subdivide this piece of property. And the Gemara gave two, depending on what we understood the language of the Mishnah to be implying, the Gemara went back and forth between whether or not something called hezek ri'iyah, which is the damage of other people watching your private business, is actually fundamentally called damage, and therefore you can be held liable for that damage that you cause. So normally in halacha, when you cause damage to someone, you have to pay. And because you have to pay for any damage that you cause, there are certain obligations on these on the people who are participating, the damaged and the one who causes the damage, to prevent that damage in the first place. And if they fail, they have to pay. So the question when it comes to hezek ri'iyah is going to be, what is the nature of that type of damage? Is it that you have to pay if you cause that damage? Or is it more fundamental in the sense that it's something you just have to prevent from happening in the first place? So that's going to be the next sugya we look at. But before we get there, the reason why we looked at the Gemara even before we got to what we're going to talk about this morning is because part of the way we're going to analyze a particular line in the Mishnah, that's what we're going to spend today talking about, is it's necessary to understand what hezek ri'iyah is, at least that it exists. So the first Gemara we saw, just to remind you, so we had two deos in the Gemara, and it went on to the top of Beis HaMebeis. Right, so the Gemara said one way, and then it went the other way, whether or not hezek ri'iyah, meaning the damage of what we call violating your privacy, is fundamentally considered damage, and whether or not that can be learned from the Mishnah. Now, the next Gemara we're going to look at is, of course, going to go into this in great depth. But before we get there, so just go back to the Mishnah for a moment. So the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, so we said in the first line, right, if you want to subdivide your property, and then the Mishnah gave a whole list of all the different types of walls that you could build. It could be a certain, you know, depending on the type of material, you'd have to build a wall of a certain thickness. 6 tvachim, 5 tvachim, 4 tvachim, or 3 tvachim, right? So it's ranging from 6 tvachim, which is about, so what you say, tefach is about 4 inches, so about 20 inches wide, so just shy of 2 feet wide. That's a pretty thick wall. And going down from there, depending on the material. So the question, of course, is, in the Mishnah, right before it lists all of these things, the Mishnah says, Hakol keminhag hamedina. That when you're building this wall, you build it according to the minhag of the place that you are in. Now, we normally have a word for that in English. We call that zoning laws, right? And generally speaking, in more residential areas, right, the zoning board also is the design board, right? What you want to build in your property is governed by the rules of the place that you're in. So when the Mishnah says, Hakol keminhag hamedina, right, the obvious question that jumps out is, well, if that's true, that everything is according to the customs and rules and regulations of the place that you're in, so then why does it need to give me a very specific set of rules and regulations?
Maybe someone wants to compel his partner to do something better.
Oh, so that's one possibility. So let's take a look at the Rishonim and how they analyze this piece of the Mishnah. So let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi in Dibur HaMaschil, Hakol Kemina Gamedina, it's the first narrow line in Rashi. So Rashi says, what is the point of saying Hakol Kemina Gamedina? Im minhag alivnos bigvil, ein chaviro yachol omar, eini chafetz alegazis. If the minhag of the place is to build one, so then you can't say, no, I want to build the other one. Now, let's just remember, what does Rashi say? Rashi says the first case is Gvil, that is, his friend cannot say, I want to build the next step down, which is Guzis. What about the inverse case? Right, so you can't, if the minhag is to build the top quality stuff, you're going to build a good wall. So Rashi says, what's the point of saying Hakol Keminhag HaMedina? To tell you, I cannot say, no, we're going to build to a lesser standard. Right, and if I want to build to the higher standard, you have to join me in building to the higher standard, because that's the local custom. So let me ask you two questions. What if we both agree to build to the lower standard? So the local custom is local custom. But who cares? This is an internal wall. We're building in our private courtyard, right? Just remember, we talked about it last time, I'll say it again. So remember, the way that a chatzer works in Mishnaic and Talmudic systems is that you have a mavoi, which is like the lobby, and then you have the chatzer, which is like your apartment hallway, right? All the people that have houses that open up onto that courtyard share in the use and ownership of that chatzer. But the rest of the world, not only doesn't own it, they don't even see it. It's just for you. So if you want to subdivide, so let's say there are two houses in this particular chatzer. So if you want to subdivide and say, I don't want to see you ever again. You know, I can't stand you, Jacob. I never just want to see you. I want to put up a wall. I want to pretend I never see you, right? Imagine that I would ever say such a thing, right? So let's say we did that, right? We shared a backyard. I don't want to see you anymore. So we put up a wall. Okay. So you say, Rabbi, the rules over here are we're going to put up a good wall. And I say, yeah, but I'm cheap. I'm a cheap Jew. I don't want to put up a good wall. I want to put up the cheapest wall I could get. I want to go to Home Depot and I want to buy the flimsiest fence I could put up. And let's spend that. So can I say that? So Rashi says no, because the Minhag Medina, the local custom is that you and I, when we put up a wall, we have to put up the best quality wall. But what if we...
Rashi doesn't say that.
What?
I don't think Rashi says that.
Okay, what do you think Rashi says?
I think Rashi says that if there's no agreement, then this is the default. But there's nothing that says, but if the parties agree otherwise, they can't...
Correct, good. So that's the first point, right? So Rashi doesn't specifically say that if the parties agree to something different, that they could. We're going to see Tosfos does not necessarily agree to that reading of Rashi. So hold that thought for a second. But there's another flip side here. What if we inverted Rashi's case? Right? Rashi specifically says, Gvil is the minhag, and I want to build a lesser quality. What if it's the other way around? What if the minhag is to build Guzis, and I want to build a better wall, I want to build Gvil? So what would you say?
You can't do that.
You would argue you can't do that. Why?
Going back to your argument about being cheap, you know, you shouldn't be compelled because one side wants to spend more for the other side to be forced to spend more.
Good. So then let me ask you the following question. If you're right, Mark, so then why does the Mishnah need to give me a list? Because what you just, by saying what you said, which is that whatever the local custom is, that's what I'm required to build, it's unnecessary for the Mishnah to give me the rules.
No, it's necessary. It's
why?
Necessary, because the Mishnah is saying, when the parties, you know, don't agree, then this is the, you follow. You follow the Minhag, and here are the three, you know, here are the do that. But when the parties agree to do it, whatever they want to do differently, it's private property. They do whatever they want.
So let me rephrase. If the Mishnah is saying that whatever the local custom is what we have to follow, and that's how Rashi is interpreting the Mishnah, right? Hakol Kamino Gamedina means that if they don't agree on what to build, so then they have to build according to the local custom, so then it's unnecessary for the Mishnah to give me the rules and regulations of what needs to be built when they don't agree, right? I don't need to define the width of the wall for Gvil, because who cares? If you and I don't agree on how to subdivide our backyard, so then whatever the local custom is, that's what we have to do. Right? That's how you're interpreting Rashi. You're saying, Rashi's specifically saying that if you don't agree, you follow the minhag. Fine. But then the Mishnah seems to be reading unnecessarily wordy. Right? I don't need all this. Well, if it's Gvil, then you give three tvachim, I give three tvachim. If it's Guzis, you give 2.5, and I give 2.5. Why? Who needs that? Whatever the local custom is, that's what it's going to be. And if we agree otherwise, then we agree.
Right, because what it's doing is in the situation you don't agree, it's giving you the parameters of all of the quote-unquote standards.
So what if...
By the way, there may be six more for all we know.
Ah, okay, so we're gonna come back to that. So there are other Rishonim who...
It seems like it wants to establish some kind of credible separation. You can't just put up a curtain.
Oh, okay, so these are... Good, so these are some of the two approaches that the Rishonim take. We're going to see a couple more in a minute. Nathan, you had something you wanted to say before?
Yeah, I was just going to say that if the problem is Hezekriya, then maybe, maybe you should be allowed to say, no, it's my Hezekriya to define what I'm comfortable with. So if I'm not comfortable with a lower level wall, I need a higher level wall, then you have to pay because it's the Hezekriya that you're going to cause me, and I get to define what privacy I feel comfortable with.
Okay, so we're going to work with another variation of that as well. That's not quite what the other Rishonim say, but the Rashba says something close. We're not going to talk about the Rashba because the Rashba's analysis is extremely complicated and rests on a number of other premises which are hard to defend in the Mishnah and the Gemara, which is why most of the Rishonim reject the Rashba's approach. But the Nemuki Yosef says something very similar in the name of the Ra'a. We're going to see it in a couple of minutes. So hold all these thoughts because these are excellent, right? But what we see already is that Rashi's conception of why the Mishnah's ambiguity is here is problematic. It doesn't address a number of the fundamental questions, which is what happens if they agree? What happens if they want to build something better than the standard, right? So far, only seems to be obvious that Rashi thinks that you can force the other person to build to the local custom as defined by the standards of the Mishnah, assuming that the local customs and the standards of the Mishnah are synonymous, right? Another problem with Rashi is that what if the local custom has some other standard, right? What if the local custom is to say, we're going to build a fence made out of guzis, whatever guzis is, but we're going to build it to a width of 6 tvachim instead of 5 tvachim. So are you allowed to do that? Do we follow the local custom or do we follow the definition of the Mishnah? right? Is the Mishnah in a sense dispositive that whatever you're going to build, here's the way you have to build it? Or is it saying, if you don't have a minug, so then here's a good list of things that you could follow? And then going one step further on the problems in the Mishnah, right? If you would go on that track of it's necessary to list these things because otherwise what do we do? Well, are there any other options other than these four things? Right, so these are four types of materials. What if I wanted to build your subdivided wall out of aluminum siding? Right, is that allowed? What if I wanted to put steel plates? Or what if I just wanted to throw up sheetrock in your backyard? As ridiculous as that sounds. Right? What if I wanted to do those things? So am I permitted, or is the Mishnah governing that? So Rashi is saying one very simple thing. Rashi seems to think that the definition of minog hamako, minog hamedina, when it comes to building this wall, is only so that you could force the other guy to build to the standard of the place. Right? Rashi doesn't tell us anything more than that, and Rashi, in fact, leaves a lot out of what we have to discuss. So that's Rashi's position. Tosos has a very different conception, and as we're going to see in both the Rush and the Muki Yosef, there's even more here as well.
Even in the Mishnah, when it lists these items, it says the makom shenahagu. You know, it seems like here hakol kemina kamedina. You know, and it seems like they're just giving these as examples.
Good, so that's possibility. But if that's true, so then hakol kemina kamedina is the governing principle, in which case, if we agree to build less than the standard, so are we allowed to do that? Meaning, if the law is that hakol kemina gamedina, meaning, what does that mean in legal terms? Right, I'll put my lawyer hat on for a second. In legal terms, that means that in lieu of us giving a firm law for every place of you are obligated to build X in this specific situation, we're saying, you know what? We're gonna delegate what the standard is to every locality. But whatever the locality determines is the obligation, that's the halachic obligation for you to build. You don't have the right to make an agreement otherwise. Now, once we get through some of the Rishonim on this part of the Mishnah, we're going to compare it, if we have time, we're going to compare it to a sugya elsewhere in Choshen Mishpat, which seems to take the complete opposite approach to the definitions of minhag and how that plays out in halacha. So we're going to get there in a couple of minutes. So bear with me. Let's take a look at Tosos. If you look at Tosos, it's the third Tosos, Dibur Maschil, Bigvil, Zenosim, Gimel Tvachim. So Tosos says, okay, how come it doesn't say to the totality, right? It says it, right? How does the Mishnah phrase it? Each material, the Mishnah says, each person gives a certain width of the space and the wall, right? So with gvil, each person gives 3 tzvachim. So you have to figure out the math that 3 + 3 = 6, right? So Toz wants to know, why doesn't it just say 6? And we'll figure out that we could split it, right? That's what we're doing here. We're subdividing. So it should be obvious that if we're splitting, we're subdividing, so it should be obvious that whatever wall we put up, we will split. So why does the Mishnah need to tell me, you give 3 and I give 3, you give 2.5, I give 2.5? It should just tell me the totality of what the wall should look like, and we'll figure it out like gentlemen, the way we're supposed to, which is to split it in half, right? It's a reasonable question. So Tosa says, "Dilonati lemeimar shisha l'chol echad." We don't want you to make a mistake and say, no, that when the Mishnah says 6, 6 for each person. Right? It's an ungapacha question. It's the other way around. Why? Tosa says, well, if it says hakol kemina gamedina, and then we say gvil is 6 tvachim, and this one is 5 tvachim, and this one is 4 tvachim, you might think that the definition of the wall is, well, 6 tvachim for me, and 6 tvachim for you. Because remember, the Mishnah doesn't say who's responsible for what. Okay, fine. So Tosus says that's why the Mishnah has to phrase it with this weird phraseology of 3 for you, 3 for me, 1, 2.5 for you, and so on. Okay. Next point in Tosos. V'im tomar. Amai itzrich lemisni midas gvil v'gazis. Why do we need to tell you the measurements, meaning the thickness of the walls, of these materials? Kivan ditznan, since the Mishnah ends up saying anyway, hakol kamina gamedina, kimoshinagu ken yasu. Right? The Mishnah says hakol kamina gamedina. So what does that mean? That means that whatever the local custom is, that's what they're going to do. So why bother with the whole list? Right? The same question we asked on Rashi. So Tosus is asking the same question to Pemeli. V'yishlomar, Tosus suggests, de'imnagu yoser mishisha bigvil, that if the custom is to build more than a 6 tefach thick wall with the best material, lo yaseh, do not do that. Lo yaseh. don't do it. Not, you can't do it, don't do it. So it's also saying that, what if we want to? So I think Tosfos is saying lo yasa. He's saying, even if the two of us agree to build a nine foot thick, you know, barrier wall, we're not allowed to do that. Because the definition in the Mishnah is specific. It's telling you, hakol k'minhag ha-medina, and to whatever the minhag is, here is, as Mark said before, the definitions of what the minhag could look like. V'chein kulam, ela k'shir ha-mefurash. All of them have to follow whatever shir is in the Mishnah. In other words, as opposed to what we might have said Rashi thinks, which is, it's only when you want to deviate from the local custom that you can force the person to follow the custom. But if we agree to deviate, that's our choice. We can do whatever we want. Tosfos saying no. Even in local custom, even if we agree to deviate, you're not allowed. The limits are what the Mishnah says. That's Tosfos' first approach. Umihu, however, imnagu lasos pachos mishisha yasa. So here's where Tosfos gets complicated. What does Tosfos say? Hakol kamina ga medina is a limitation on how much you can spend on the higher end. You can't invest with a partner, and Tosfos seems to imply that that means to force a guy, because remember, what's the whole point of going on? What's going on in this Mishnah? Right? We have a chatzer, we have two people who are using it, and they want to put up a wall between them. Right? That's the case. The case where everybody here wants to put up a wall, and the question is, what can we require each other to invest in? So Tosfos is saying, Hakol k'minhag ha-medina puts a cap. When you and I decide together to split, this is the most that the two of us can force each other to spend, not more. You want to build the best quality wall? However much it costs to build the best quality wall to a thickness of 6 tefachim. That's it, nothing more. Okay, but what if that's the custom and we want to build a little less than that? We want to build a good quality wall, but we want to do it at 5 tefachim. Can we do that? Can we do less? Lasos pachos mishisha yasatosa says that you could do. Why? Da'afilu imnagu behutza v'dafna. Because even if you just put up a flimsy fence, right? A couple of posts that you bought at Home Depot, yasa, that you could do, as the Gemara itself suggested. Now, where did the Gemara suggest that? So if you remember, when we were learning on Beis Amud Beis, if you just turn there very briefly, right? So if you look at the very last line before the two dots, the Gemara says, Ela maiguda, bonin es hakosel, bonin osomi ba'ile. Right? Why does the Mishnah say that they build a wall between them? It should just say that you should build it. Right? Once we have defined the word mechitza in the Mishnah as a wall, so the Mishnah should just refer to it using a preposition. It, the wall that we were just talking about 5 words ago. Right? So what is it? So why does it use the word wall? So itana oso, if it says oso hava amina b'mesipas ba'alma, kamash malan, that the Mishnah requires an actual wall. So a mesipas is even less than hutzav adafna. A mesipas is like steps. It's like a slightly raised mound. It's almost like our mechitza. It's not a real wall, right? It's not a real wall. It's something that you actually have to. It's something you have to build high enough to block the sight lines fully, right? Because remember, that's the Gemara's point of Hezek Re'iyah. So Tosfos is saying, as long as it's a wall, it works even if it's less than the custom. Fine. So then Tosfos says the next question: V'im tomar. Umay ba'i b'gemar were five narrow lines from where it gets wider in Tosfos. V'im tomar. Umay ba'i b'gemara ha'kol k'minhag ha-medina. Right? What's the Gemara asking when it says ha'kol k'minhag ha-medina la'asuyei mai? Right? So later on the Gemara is going to say, what is the fact that ha'kol k'minhag ha-medina coming to include? Now, whenever the Mishnah gives a rule, as a general rule, ha'kol, klal gadol, klal, whatever ruling as a catch-all that the Mishnah uses, the Gemara always, always, always asks, Hakol la'asuyei mai. Why is it telling me everything? Right? What's everything specifically including? Right? I don't need to tell you everything if I don't want to highlight that I'm including something that you otherwise would not have included. Right? That's why I'm telling you all of it. Right? Not just some of it, everything. So what's the everything? So the Gemara always asks that question. So Tosfos is saying, okay, good. So we have here, Hakol. It's all. Okay, so what's the all? What wouldn't I have included had it not told me Hakol Kamina Gamedina? So what does he say? Umishani la asuye asra dinahi gebehutza vidafna. To include a place where they don't follow the list in the Mishnah. They use something even less standard. They use a much flimsier wall. They use a hutza vidafna wall. Not a great wall, but it's still a wall. So Gemara says, Lema la asuye kamina kalamikomos kimoshinagu. So maybe Tosfos says it means to include that whatever everybody does, however they do it. meaning that the list is as Mark suggested originally. It doesn't matter what the minhag, what the list of the Mishnah is. The list is a suggestion, meaning the list is a red herring. We could really just leave it out of the Mishnah. But the authors of the Mishnah were trying to be kind, and they wanted to give you some suggestions. Because when you're in, you know, first century common era, you know, Israel, and you're living in the Galilee, and you need to come up with zoning laws because the Romans just came in and killed everyone, and now you're trying to rebuild your community that just got burned to a crisp, and there's a few couple of people left. So who's going to make the rules? What rules are you going to make? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Dan Nasi, they all wanted to stand around and say, okay, you know what? I have a suggestion. Here's an idea. You need to make zoning laws. Here's some good zoning laws for fences. Try this. Right? And it's actually a funny way, but if you read the Tosefta in Maseches Bava Basra and in Maseches Shkalim and in a couple other Masechtos, a lot of the Tosefta reads like this. So the Mishnah doesn't often read like this, but if you look at the Tosefta oftentimes reads like a zoning book. It's like a list of rules and regulations. When you have a city that does this, you do this. If the people are not paying their taxes, you should collect them and hold them in escrow. In advance, there's a Tosefta in the beginning of Maseches Shkalim which literally says, if the people don't pay their taxes to the Mikdash to cover the Karbanos, you should hold their taxes in escrow. You should go and take stuff from their field and hold it on their behalf because you don't trust them to pay. So it's wild. Think the Tosefta and sometimes the Mishnah operates as a manual of how to function as a society. In fact, this is actually one of the reasons why I wanted to learn this parak, is because the first parak of Maseches Bava Basra is the basis in almost all of Halacha for rules that govern communities. So if you we're not going to look at it today, maybe we'll look at it later. If you look in the back by the Rif, so the Shilta Yagiborim is a commentary on the Rif. It's an early halachic work, right after the tour, but prior to the publishing of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shilta Yagiborim, he actually goes through a long, long list of local communal rules and regulations governing tax law in Jewish communities in Europe. And he goes through the different machloks in between the Rishonim of how communities should collect taxes, distribute taxes, spend that money, what they can levy new taxes for, who's responsible for collecting them and paying them to the government, etc. It's fascinating. So I'm saying someone should write a PhD thesis on this. It's really cool. But regardless, there's a lot of halacha here. So Tosus is picking up on that, saying even if there's a minhag here, okay, so the list is just a list. It's nothing more than that. Ignore it. Almost put in parentheses, brackets. It's irrelevant here. Hakol k'minhag ha'medina. And by the way, if you don't have a minhag yet, here's some suggestions. Okay, that's a valid reading. So here's the problem. V'nir la Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like this. D'dafka b'hutzav adafna. Wrong. Don't use the fact that the Gemara says you can build a flimsy wall as proof that you can go off book. No, it's dafka. You could go to do this type of wall if there is a place that already has such a custom. Right, so if you live in suburban Long Island, where the general custom is to put up a very thin fence, right, post fence, so kol kavod, right? So that's what it is. Where my in-laws live in New Rochelle, nobody puts up fences. Everybody has bushes. That's just the way the neighborhood was formed. So if you want to put up a fence, you can, but you can't ask your neighbor to help pay for it. You could ask, but it's not going to get you anywhere, right? Everybody just has bushes and hedges. That's what people use. Okay, different custom in different places. So the question is that okay? So Rabbeinu Tam says no. Don't fall for that. Don't think that the Tosa's suggestion that the list is just, you know, it's a random list that's a suggestion box. If you don't have an option, here are some that you might want to consider. No. Hutz of Adafna is specific. That's a custom that even though it's not in the Mishnah, we're going to allow it. So we're going to come back to why it's allowed when we get to Hezekiah. But there's a specific reason why the Gemara is willing. 30 seconds more. Tosa, so what does Rabbi Natam say? Zedafka Hutz of Adafna, aval pachos mikan, but less than Hutz of Adafna. Meaning it's a thin wall, but it's still a wall. But if you want to build something less, such as a masipas, which is maybe a low hedge or something like that, afilu nagu minag hedyot hu. Even if that's the custom of the place, it's a minag hedyot. It's a simpleton's custom. Umochiach mikan, and Tos and Rabbeinu Tam proves from here, the yesh minhagim she'ein lismoch alehem. There are certain customs that we do not follow. Don't rely on them. It doesn't matter what the custom is in that place. We don't do it. Afilu hecha detran hakol k'minhag ha'medina, even though the Mishnah says that we follow the minhag. Tosus basically saying the minhag is wrong. And he's saying, the Mishnah says do the minhag, and Tosus is saying no. Why? Because the list is not a list of suggestions. It's actually a scope. It's giving you a parameter for the definition of hakol k'minhag ha'medina. It's fine to have, you know, some leeway. There is some latitude for minhag, right? In a wealthier community, they might want to build a better wall. In a poorer community, they might want to build a less good wall. Fine. But the halacha still gives parameters. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam says, that there's still a limitation on the minhag. And if the minhag is substandard, then we don't follow the minhag. Fine. Nathan, you had a question.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it sounds, the way that I read Rabbeinu Tam, sounds like he's saying, a really bad wall you can't do. You can't do less than Hutz of Adapna, but less than, it's less than in terms of quality of the wall. Meaning, there could be some new material that we have now that might be better quality than Hutz of Adapna that you might be allowed to do, even though it's not on the list of the Mishnah.
Maybe. He may not say that that's a problem, because he might say that it's a parameters. Meaning, think of it like almost like a timeline. There's the best, there's the worst. Hutz of a Duffin is like, let's say, one step worse than the worst in the Mishnah. Here's your scope. Anything that falls within this is fine.
Right.
I don't think he's saying, and we'll see, there are Rishonim who disagree, but I don't think he's saying that if you have some kind of something that's between Gvil and Guzzis, some hybrid material, some newly created composite material, right? That's a mix of both. That's not as good as Gvil, but it's better than Guzzis, right? So I don't think Tosis would say, oh, you can't do that. I don't think he's saying that these are the mitzvahs in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu passed down at Sinai. It says you have to build a wall of six tefachim made out of. I'm saying I think it's a scope, but it's limiting the scope on both ends, right? So Tosfos' first approach, the unnamed Baal Tosfos, suggested that it was just a cap on top, but minimally, as long as everybody agrees, it's fine, which we could defend as Rashi's position as well, right? That you only can force your neighbor to join you in building to standard when that's the local custom. If you both agree to build less than that, that's fine. And if you don't agree, you have to follow the local custom. Tosa said, option one, there's a cap, right? I can't force you to build better than the highest point, but anything lower than that, if that's what I want to do, we can do that, provided that it's supported by the local custom or that we agree, right? And second, and the third option is Rabbeinu Tam, which is no, there's a cap on both ends. Doesn't matter what the local custom is. Local custom is bound by the halacha of here's what is a valid wall.
So now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, like what is it called? Kamina Kavadina, even why is it there?
Because it means that you don't have to pick one. Meaning one community could do one of them, one community could do the other, right? We're not usually in the habit of saying the mitzvah is to shake lulav. But in one community, the way you shake lulav is going to be to hold these four minim. And in a different community, we're going to say it's a different four minim, right? There's one definition for arba minim, and everybody has to shake it. Doesn't matter what community you live in. So imagine for a moment that the mitzvah, and again, we're going to get to why you are able to force someone to build a wall in the first place, right? This is why all the Rishonim are struggling with it. The next step is, well, who cares, right? Because it's not there's no mitzvah in the Torah to build a wall between your property. Right, so this is where the Hezek Re'iyah component comes in, as we're going to see in some of the Rishonim in a minute. But whatever that ruling is that is going to obligate us to build a wall, so maybe it's one size fits all. Right?
There's still partners here, right? Even after all.
So partners is a word that gets us in trouble, because the Mishnah uses the word hashutafen, right? The Mishnah calls them partners. The problem is that it's not only partners in a chatzer, right? So we talked about this a little bit last time. So The partnership here is not necessarily in ownership. Sometimes it's partnership in the sense that everybody has the right of use. So, for example, in a chatzer, you can't sell your part of the chatzer to an outside party that doesn't live in the chatzer, right? You couldn't sell the hallway in your building. What do you mean? This is my part of the hallway. I'm selling it to to the guy on the 10th floor. It doesn't work that way, right? So in a chatzer, so hashutafin is in the Mishnah because there are aspects of the Mishnah where you do own it. So for example, when the Gemara gets to the case of the Gina or the Bika, that is an ownership interest, where you're actual partners. And there's differences, as the Gemara will highlight for us in Daf Gimel and Daf Dalet, what happens when it's actually business partners who are splitting and not just people who have to live together who are sick and tired of looking at each other, right? So, and there are differences there. So right now we're focusing on the sick and tired part, but we're going to get to the business parameters. So that's where the Hashutafin category comes in. Meaning, in this Mishnah...
But they still share a common interest.
Yes, they share a common interest, but it's not a shared, per se, ownership. The Perek is Hashutafin, but not everybody, as we're going to see in this Perek, is an actual partner. Some people, unbeknownst to them, are less than that. Okay, fine. So I'm going to ask you, at this point, to turn...
They're not dissolving the partnership, so each one...
Correct, they're not, that's what I'm saying. They're not dissolving the partnership.
Some kind of right...
Correct. When we get to I think it's Daf Ches or Daf Tes, Where's the pretty pictures? My favorite pictures. Somewhere here in the first parak. There's pictures somewhere. Maybe Daf Yud Gimel. Daf Yud Gimel. So if you look on Daf Yud Gimel, there's very interesting pictures. See about how to divide. That's the sugya about partnership dissolution. When you break up partnerships and how you force the partners to dissolve the partnership and go their separate ways. So the Gemara has very specific rules about the way in which that must be done. So I imagine that's not how it's done Bizman Hazeh, but maybe we should think about that. So when we get to Daf Yud Gimel, we'll talk about it. It's a fascinating sugya. Okay, but before we get to Daf Yud Gimel, so staying on Daf Beis for a second, turn for a moment to the Rush. Okay, so if you look in the Rush in the back of the Gemara, it's the first thing right after the Gemara ends. So the Gemara ends on Daf Kufay and Zayin, so turn a few pages past that and you get to Rabbeinu Asher. It's the first page in the Rush. So in Simin Aleph, in the Rush. So the Rush quotes the Mishnah. He quotes our whole thing about the Hakol Kaminag Medina. He talks about the fact that everybody has to build a wall. And then he wants to know, okay, so what's with this list? Right? The same question that everybody is asking here. So the Rush says as follows. Tema. It's halfway through Simon Aleph in the Rush, before the Gemara. So the Simon Aleph in the Rush is about the first column in the Rush. It's about a quarter way down the page. Simon Aleph. So it's right after the Gemara ends. Keep going. Two more pages. There you go. Okay. So if you go down in Simon Aleph in the Rush, so where it says Tema, so it's right after his quote of the Mishnah. So it says Tema. Tema. Ma hutzrach lefarish shir gvil gazis kfisim levenim. Hatana kvar hakol kemina gamedina. Right, the same question we've been addressing until now, which is the Mishnah says hakol kemina gamedina. Why do I need the list? The list seems extraneous. So the Gemara, the Rush says velechzi hechi nahug ba'ove binyan achomos shel gvil gazis kfisim levenim velezel basar menaga. Let's just go out and look at what people do when they build walls of these different materials. See whatever people do, whatever the industry standard is. Let's build it. So al kain. Therefore, the Rush says, Nir lefarish, here's why it says, I call kemina gamedina, hamedina. De'akol kemina gamedina lokai ela a'ikar hamechitza kemin hagan livnosa imbigvil obigazis obigfisim obilavenim va'afilu behutza v'dafna k'da amar b'gemara. That the minug in the Gemara, meaning the minug of the Mishnah, is only to tell you that the local custom determines what material everybody uses. But not Avol Shiur Ove HaChomos Lav Min Hagatalia Milsa. So you don't have the Rush in there?
No, I'm just having my
shot. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So then, I'll print it out next time. So I won't read the rest of it. But the Rush starts by saying, if the list in the Mishnah is nonspecific, so then what's the point of HaKol Kamina Gamedina? Right? It's unnecessary, right? The classic question we've been asking. So the Rush has a third approach. It's not a cap. It's not a minimal. Separate the two issues. There's two issues when we build a wall. There's the material question, right? And that directly impacts the cost. And then there's the how much of a wall do you actually need to build? So the Rush suggests the following. It's not a question of which material we need to build because it's not up to us. This is what we call zoning laws. If you want to build a wall in your backyard, so whatever the local requirements are, that's the local requirements. So in some neighborhoods, you have to put up a stone wall. For example, there's actually places like this. If you go to rural Ireland, so if you want to put up a wall around your property, it must be built of stone because that's part of the natural beauty of their areas. So depending on which part of the country you're in, they have rules about the way you build walls. So if you drive through rural Ireland, so you'll see everybody's property is subdivided by these like couple feet high stone walls. But if you go to suburban New York in different places, you don't see fences. You see shrubbery. You see hedges. You see fence posts. You see whatever you see, right? So depending on where you are, the material that you use is governed by local custom. Okay, so how thick of the wall? Meaning, how good quality does your wall have to be within that material bucket? And that's where the Rush says, that's where we need the Mishnah. The Hakol Kamina Gamedina tells me what material to use, but it doesn't specify what you and I have to build. It just says that we can build whatever the local custom is. So if I want to build a better quality wall or I want to build a worse quality wall, too bad on me. We have to build whatever the local requirement is. And how do we determine what's appropriate given what we're going to build from? The Mishnah tells you this is what's appropriate. Now, the reason why the Rush suggests this is because he treats, and this is key, so you don't have in front of you, so I'm not going to read the rest of it, and we're just about out of time, so we'll finish with this idea. The Rush, and this is going to be argued on by the Muki Yosef, the Ra'ah, and the Ramban, we're going to see that next time. The Rush thinks that the way in which we treat this halacha in the Mishnah is as if it was a mitzvah midoraisa from Har Sinai. He thinks that the way in which the Mishnah is phrased is to tell you, you do not have the right to change what is listed here when subdividing property. Subdividing property is an obligation on you to do according to what the Mishnah lays out. Not because of any other concern of, we need to make sure that you don't see into my property. We need to make sure that you don't use the... No. No reasons. When people subdivide, here are the rules that govern subdivisions. We want to make shalom in the world, so we're going to give you rules. A chatzar is going to be subdivided between people. This is how you do it. It's not a question of caps and minimums. What if we agree differently? None of that. You don't have that right. Hakol Kaminig Medina gives local municipalities the right to decide what material their community will use, but what the standards are for building such a... That's not up to you. That you have to build. So the easiest suggestion for the Rush, and I think this is one that is most mistaken, the Rush does not say this, this is me talking, but the way I would explain this almost crazy statement of the Rush is that it's simply a safety issue. In order to build a wall, it has to be to code. So the Mishnah is telling you, here's the code. You want to build a wall of whatever material you want? Fine, no problem. We don't care. Hakol Kaminig Medina, you guys make whatever rules you want. Build whatever walls you want, we don't care. But you better make sure that it doesn't fall on anyone. We don't trust you to put up a wall just because two guys decided we're going to be cheap, we're going to put up a flimsy wall. We don't trust you that we're going to have people get hurt, people get injured, people die. Not my problem. So we have rules. The Mishnah sets out a rule. You may not, and it's actually, it's really a pasuk, right? You have to put up vasisa ma'akel legagecha, kipa anofa mimenu, right? You have to put together a wall that's not going to hurt anyone. And in fact, the Gemara says, from losas and damaveisach and babakama daf tesvav, that one of the things that is included in the prohibition of losas and damaveisach is kosal ra'ua, a bad wall. You have an obligation to fix a bad wall. So the Mishnah is telling you, we're not going to ever allow you to put a bad wall up only to fix it later. We have building code. So I think that the way the Rush is different than Rashi and Tosfos, it's not a question of partnership agreement. Hakol Kaminig Medina and the mitzvah in the Gemara, the mitzvah in the Mishnah, is actually a fundamental rule of building code. And that actually tracks with what the Mishnah is trying to do here, right? Why does the Mishnah say Hashutaf and Shiratzu Lachlok, that you want to subdivide? Because nobody's obligating you to subdivide. But if you want to do that, okay, but we have building codes. We have rules. Because we can't allow you to just build whatever you want. It's going to fall on someone. And if it falls on someone, someone's going to die. So for that, we can't do that.
What happens if the material of the place is not one of those listed?
So the Rush might say that you don't have a choice. He might say that you have to pick a material that falls within the scope, like Tosfos. Not because you think not. Why?
I think there's a good answer to this question. The answer is that we're giving you the parameters of what the minimum is for these materials. Whatever the material is, make sure you're living up to what the proper standards are.
Good. So that works too. So my inclination is to try to fit the Rush into Tosfos, but I think that's probably a better answer. Saying that would argue outright with Tosfos, right? Because Tosfos thinks that there's a cap here, right? I can't force you to build a wall of, you know, gold. Whatever a wall of gold might look like. I'll have to ask in Dubai. But whatever, right, whatever the wall is. But so it's easier to say that. But then again, you have to figure out then why did the Mishnah not, you know, give more extreme examples on either end. So you could say, oh, well, that's not normal. It's kind of crazy. Right. But it's a very narrow, but it's a narrow window that the Mishnah is giving you. Right. It could have said, well, maybe you should build a stone wall that's 4 amos thick, like, you know, for a city. But it doesn't do that. So I hear what you're saying. I like your answer better than mine. But I think both are probably possibilities. But anyway, we'll stop here. We'll continue with this discussion about Kol Kaminig Medina next Wednesday.